You see, complacency will rob us. When we become familiar, familiarity will rob us. David is a father. He's got his sons. Do you know that Absalom and Solomon grew up in the same house, eating the same food, listening to the same teachings of their father? Here's two sons living side by side. The Bible tells us of the one, he died as an animal in the way. He died as an animal whose carcass is just left there. His body was just left there. That's how David's son died, Absalom. Of his other son that grew up in the same house, the Bible tells us he became the wisest king that ever lived. The Bible now, the one son, they grew up in the same house, same father, same house. The one son is always in a battle, Absalom. The other son, this is what the scripture says. It says, all the days of Solomon, there wasn't a spear that was thrown or an arrow that was shot in Israel. He presided over peace. One son presides or lives in turmoil his whole life. Same house, same father. One son presides over peace. So having the same father doesn't guarantee the same results. Amen. Having the same parents doesn't guarantee the same results. And here's the reason. Because you come to a point in your life where you've got to make a choice. The decisions we make today determines the outcomes of our life tomorrow. When we make decisions outside of the knowledge of God's word, we make decisions not only we live to regret, sometimes our children's children, in fact, oftentimes our children's children walks in the consequence of the decisions we make outside of God's word. So what Junior shared was, he said, we can become so familiar. Jesus Christ has 12 disciples. He loves every single one of those disciples exactly the same. They interpreted it a bit different, but that's them. Because remember, John wrote, he says, about the disciple whom Jesus loved. He was writing about himself. Jesus loved all his disciples. But you know, you always have that sister or the brother in the church who wants you to know Pastor loves them more. It just means they haven't yet grown up. They're still growing up. Because when you are secure in something, you don't shout it out. It speaks for itself. And so, Jesus is teaching his 12 disciples the same thing. He does Bible study with all of them, same Bible, same teacher, same study. One of them, the Bible tells us, was hung upside down. And the other one goes and pastors the very first church the very first church, when church started. The one hangs upside down, the one pastors the very first church, and the Bible tells us 3,000 people are added in one day. Now, both were the disciples of Jesus, or both are the students of Jesus. One is hung upside down, not as a martyr, he's killed that way. And the other, pastors the first church, and 3,000 is added in one day. So having the same teacher does not guarantee the same results. Being in the same church, sitting next to the same person, as next to someone in the same church, hearing the same word, there are different people will produce different results. If someone in the church, you hear testimonies, if someone, you hear that God prospered them greatly, well, that prosperity was issued from the same source, God, through the same vessel, the pastor, sharing the same word, it was meant for every single one. But some produces 30-fold, some produces 60, some produces 100. It is not the teacher or the church. It is you and I that needs to make the adjustment to get the same result that is issued from the same source. Jacob has 12 sons. 12. Yet, one son becomes ruler over a nation, Egypt, which was the economy or the epicenter of the world that time. Another son comes very close. His name is Benjamin. But what about the other 10? They come begging for bread in Egypt at Joseph's feet. All 12 sons from the same father in the same house, receiving the same counsel, receiving the same devotions every morning, receiving the same teachings every day. One rules Egypt. The other has a heart of compassion like his father Jacob, and he gets a praiseworthy mention. What about the other 10? Do you think this? You think Egypt was for one? The nations was for all 12. Having the same mentor doesn't guarantee the same outcome. It is, Jesus said this. Jesus said, Mark 4, he said, if you understand this parable or this story, you'll understand all. You know what he says in Mark 4? He says, the sower goes out and sows the word. So what are we doing when we have church? What are we doing? What am I doing right now? I'm sowing the word. So the word is being sowed, and Jesus says, some of the seeds fell by the wayside. So that's people who heard and said, amen, but produced nothing. Then Jesus said, some others, the seed germinated, but weeds grew up and choked the seeds. So those are the others who come and hear the same word. They hear, they say amen, they take no, I don't know how they remember, maybe they go back and meditate, so that's fine. I don't know how, but let's say you say, oh, that was wonderful. But others take, you write or you capture, you go and check on the podcast and you work with that word. So that's the one that takes the word and works the word. And in their good intention, they allow weeds to come in. A little bit of strife here, a little bit of murmur there, a little bit of gossip there, a little bit of offense there. So what does that do? The bud that is coming up now to produce is choked. That's what Jesus said. And then there's still others. They hear the word, They receive the word. They guard their hearts. You guard your lips. You guard your heart. And the Bible says, Jesus says, this produces a hundredfold. Same teacher, same source, same word. Some brings 30, some brings 60, and some brings 100. Why? It is based on the soil of our heart and based on the discipline we have and based on what we do with what we receive. I love the Holy Spirit because what you shared yesterday, the Lord impressed on my heart to start preparing a new series, which we'll do and we move in there, pursuing a life of significance. And this is what I heard the Holy Spirit say. He said to me that I want to raise this church and the people. When you say raise the church, it's the people. I want to raise this church to a life of significance. Not just living life, not just going through life, but having a life that means something, that is influential, a life that is a living testimony. And that's what I heard the Holy Spirit tell me yesterday. And I wrote it down, and then when Junior started sharing, that's on the mark, it's Holy Ghost. To have a life of significance. You see, I want to let me qualify one thing, please, from what Junior shared. The opposite is also true, that while you are taking someone else's harvest they should have had because they weren't diligent, that's true. If you're not diligent, someone is taking your harvest. If you're not faithful, someone is taking your talent. If you're not a good steward over what God's given you, someone else. Why? Because, see, the kingdom of God does not allow for a vacuum. Does it? And so, the one who is diligent and faithful, someone, you will, like that parable, you will receive what someone else was meant to have received. So if you live or choose to live a haphazard, casual, easygoing life, don't be mad at someone else when they drive the car you are supposed to drive. Don't be mad at someone else operating in gifting that you should have had. So as gifted and talented as you may be, if you are complacent or familiar, you lose it. The kingdom of God. You know, you meet all sorts of people. I met a pastor one day. He said this to me. Now, praise God. But he said this to me. He said, he's so glad he's finished there by the work where he worked. Now, I don't tell you where he worked. He said this to me. I'll tell you what language he spoke. He said, Godsman, ek is so blek as klaar daar waar ek by die job ek as klaar. Now, you know why he was glad? I asked him. I'm very curious. I said, why are you glad you are finished with that work? He said, because he taught when he was in school. So now I'm going to give you his age or so. He said, if you got the JC, you are right. Those who don't know what is JC. Ask Sister Mary, ask Mother Mary. JC is standard 8. So he said, he was always told, as long as you got the JC, you're right. He said, but the problem is when he started working there where he worked, I can't tell you where he worked. said, there where you worked. He said, this is what he said. I promise you. He said to me, "Hey, mense is onbeskof. Hulle stuur, jy moet gaan leer alweer elke keer moet jy iets leer. You must always learn something." Because the machines where he operates changes and all that, and the laws and occupation, health and safety. So he said, he thought when he finished his JC, he's done. And now he can't watch TV because he must study. There's always tests in the work. And he was glad that now he became a pastor. Now, I listened. He was glad he became a pastor. Because now you don't have to do no more courses and learn. Wow. Last I heard, I think the church he pastors, there's about 40 people, maybe 30, 40. But last I heard, they are still in the same classroom they've been using for about 20 years. Last I heard. See, your whole life has got to be a life of ever learning, ever increasing, ever developing. If you don't grow, you die. See, I'm not going to ever become complacent on the revelation God's given me. That's why I'd rather go and spend hours mining the Word of God. Because faith is the one thing you don't have a degree in and it lasts forever. Amen. You cannot live today of yesterday's faith. You can't come here and tell us, you know, Pastor, in 1996, I operated in faith in the tent in the revival. My God. I was there when this happened. What are you doing today? Faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. You can't live today. You know what is faith? Let me tell you what is faith. See, this was not in my studies. This is a tweet I just got now from heaven. I'm telling you, this is from the Holy Ghost. Listen. You know when that manna in heaven, manna in the wilderness. Remember, children of Israel are traveling through the wilderness and they need food. And God sends down manna. Now, do you know that manna that they receive, that bread, manna means to sustain. They received enough for the day. Thank God there were no fridges in the wilderness. Because even if there were, you see some of you, you're going home today, you're cooking the chicken from the freezer. That bird was killed last year. That chicken gave its life a year ago and you're eating it today. It's an old corpse. See? See? Praise God. Now, God knew that they weren't supposed to do that. So they had no fridges. And manna couldn't last for the next day. Read the Bible. Whatever they got today had to be eaten today. You couldn't carry some word for in case, or tonight I'll be up on Google, I'll be hungry, I'll take some manna. No, in my tent, no. Once the manna came, we eat and we go. They wanted quail, they wanted meat. They said, what kind of pastor is Moses? Does he think we are vegans here? I mean, I just eat in this manna every day. They cried, they murmured. They said, what kind of pastor is Moses? They murmured. You know what happened? This is what the Bible says. I'm not saying the Bible says. The Lord said he had enough. You know what Moses told God? He said, this, your people, I'm just leading them. Here's the Bible. It's there. Here's the Bible. Go read it at all. He said, this, your people, your complainers. So God had enough, and God and Moses came in agreement about the murmurers. So you know what God did? You know what the murmurers are? Whisperers. They never happy. Nothing. Let me tell you, they leave this church, the next church better be careful. They're not going to be happy there either. If they don't get their favorite seat, where they like to sit, they will let people know. If you don't like the usher here who guides you, his cousin is waiting for you at the next church. Want to murmur? That's how God deals with murmurs. And so, God and Moses comes in agreement that these people are complaining. This is a Gatsby with no meat, no chicken, no nothing. But it's a Gatsby. A vegetable Gatsby with broccoli. Lord have mercy. The Lord, listen, I'll tell you something this morning. You come up here and we pray for you. We say the Lord heal you. And you go back and you still don't watch your eating. And you don't watch your diet and you go eat all the wrong stuff. I'm going to tell you right now, God will heal you maybe once, maybe twice. Now I know you're going to tell me, Pastor, there's a God of a second and another chance. Listen, grow up. If you don't go and watch your lifestyle, you can't blame God. You know, when we travel, this is what happens. You get to a place sometimes, you got a reservation at a hotel. You go in, you give your name, you give your ID, you say, I have a reservation. And then they say to you, sir, your room is not yet ready. Check-in is only at 2. Now, you came there at 11. So you have to find something to do from 11 till 2 because your room's not ready. You go sit in the lobby and you do some work, get a cappuccino, whatever. Do you know that there's many people, they check in at the gates, and Peter says, I don't have you on the schedule. You got to just wait till your time is appointed. You know, there's some people who die premature, and they get to the gates of heaven, and they weren't supposed to have been there, but they ate themselves into an early grave. They were lazy, they refused to exercise, and now they died early. And they say, we got your check-in for 2067. And you're showing up there in 2019, 2018. Okay? So much as we pray, you got to make some adjustments. So God and Moses comes in agreement that these people, now that's why God was giving them broccoli Gatsby's. And that wasn't a nice soft bun like the Grillmeister, that was rye bread, unleavened bread. Like toasted gluten bread, gluten free, hardened. Now, you know what happened the other day? I gave Ali, the dog, I gave him some gluten-free pizza. And when I looked at him battling to chew it, I thought, Lord have mercy, I want to eat this thing. Even Ali's battling with this thing. So can you imagine how these murmurers felt now? God's giving us this thing to eat every single day. I mean, it's Friday. What happened to the fish and chips? Lord have mercy. I don't know where the Catholics got the Friday thing with the fish, because these guys in the wilderness were eating vegetables 365-7. And they... I don't want to use the word we use locally here, but they had enough. So they murmured. They whispered. That means I must stop. I'm going to round up now. So they whispered. And God had enough. So God said, they want meat. We'll give them meat. The Bible says the next day, a wind came. And the wind drove in quail. You know what is quail? Quail is like a type of a bird. It's not ostrich and it's not an eagle. It's in between. Imagine eating a quail burger. So God said they want meat, I'll give them meat. And they get all this quail. The one commentary said there was so much quail, it was like above their feet. Now imagine you cry for meat. This is what the Bible says. God said you want, now there. Have. And they ate all this quail. Now can I tell you, there was no fridges. How does the quail smell in the desert tomorrow morning? It's all off. I mean, you complain when you drive next to the abattoir. Can you imagine you living in the abattoir? And the scripture says they ate so much, it came out of their nostrils and their ears. They were so sick of this quail. They were, I bet you, they were wishing for that manna. You know what happened? For a long time, they didn't murmur. When you murmur, that's how God deals with murmuring. Say, okay, you will walk in what you are saying. What is the point? The point is that, how did I get there? I don't know. You see, the Holy Spirit is moving here, but there's a principle there. And the principle is this, is that we are always well-placed to receive God's word, to never be familiar with God's word, to never become complacent in God's presence. And that is the way that God will promote you. That is the way that you will pursue a life of significance. You got to stay thirsty. You got to stay hungry. You say amen to that.
Amen.
All right, now I'm going to stop there for now with that. I want to give you one or two updates. Now, tonight we have our career and business anointing service. Why do we have a career and business anointing service? You're going to hear some incredible testimonies. And hear some incredible things the Lord has done, because the word is sent out and the word produces as it is sent in faith. And the power of a testimony is that when you share a testimony, God loves it so much that he schedules more for you, because he knows that you're giving him the glory and you're not taking it. So God loves people who shares what he's done. Secondly, a testimony encourages someone else to know if God could do it for them, God can do it for me.
Amen.
Right? And here's some incredible testimonies. The career and business anointing service has its own purpose. It has its own assignment. It is not the teaching service, or it is not the equipping service as much, but it is a service where we flow in what the Holy Ghost is saying, and it's meant to usher in. You see, the Bible says God does nothing except he reveals it to his servants, the prophet. Now, for God to do something great in this month, we do it at the beginning of every month. Why? Because we are sort of in the middle now, but for God to accomplish what he needs to, we need to decree it, declare it, release it under authority with the unction of the Holy Spirit, so you can walk in it. This is why we say bring something that you believe in God for. With, bring a point of contact, write it down, bring whatever it is, and you trust in God. We join our faith with you. And when we join our faith with you, we release angels to go on assignment, to work in that matter for you. So that is what we're doing, and that is at 6 p.m. this evening. Praise God. All right, now, two more things, and then we're going to close. The other one is, in John 21, Jesus is Okay, just prior to John chapter 21, Jesus needs to preach. And he wants to share good news with people. And they had no sound system and no mics and no speakers and all of that. So Jesus he needs a boat, because if you can stand on a boat and preach, the waves will carry your voice. So Jesus didn't have a boat, but Peter said, "You can have mine, Lord." So Jesus used Peter's boat. He jumped into Peter's boat and started preaching the gospel. And because Peter availed his boat, the scripture tells us later in Hebrews that God is not unrighteous to forget our labors of love, in that we have ministered and continue to minister to the saints, to God's people. So Peter did an act of love and generosity by giving his boat to Jesus. Now, sometime later, Peter goes fishing. And we find that in John 21. And he's a skilled fisherman. And he knows those waters. He grew up there. He probably fished with his great-grandfather there. And his grandfather. And he knows it. And he tries all night to catch fish. And he comes back. And Jesus asks them, do you have anything? Give us something to eat. And he said, we caught nothing. We toiled. We toiled. We worked by the sweat of our brow, working hard, working ourselves to stand still all night, and we caught nothing. Jesus says to Peter, come, Peter, go back into the water with the same boat, in the same water where you were fishing. And Jesus says, cast your net on the other side of the boat. The Bible says in John 21, Peter cast his net and so many fish came into the net that, this is what the scripture says, you can go and read it, here's the Bible. In John 21, it says he couldn't take in all of the fish, so he had to signal to his partners. These are the other people that helps Peter. He had to signal to them to come and help. So what happened? They now start getting a harvest. Not only does Peter get a harvest because he gave his boat to Jesus, the partners are all getting a harvest because they gave their boat to Jesus. You see, the power of partnership is that when we partner with Jesus, then whatever Jesus is doing for Peter, Jesus is going to do for everyone that partners with Peter.